Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How are you now? It's James Whelan from Barclay Pearce Capital's Wealth Management Team, and you are listening to... It's not the Pip Show anymore. It's the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. Today's date is the 16th of February, 2024. This show is sponsored by Barclay Pearce, I suppose, because they're the guys that pay me. That's what I work for. Now, I'm joined by a good old friend of mine today. So Heath Moss, unfortunately, is down front row center for Taylor Swift. I'm going to shut this window. I'm broadcasting from home today. Heath Moss was out, and we've got David Scutt from StoneX. Am I saying StoneX?
Yeah, StoneX or City Index or Forex.com. One of the three.
Okay. He's the chief senior talking head at that particular place, whatever he wants to do, but he's the knowledgeable one in the team and the guy that we turn to when we have absolute questions for it. It is a Friday, obviously. That's why we're both in very, very casual clothes. I've got my Monday Night Football t-shirt on in my little office studio, and I've also got, I don't know if you can see that, anyone who's watching on the YouTube, there's my little sporting memorabilia stuff up there. I've got stuff from when I was in Nepal. I've got my Tottenham thing. I've got some of the baseballs that I won various championships with, and there's my NFL ball up there as well. Anyway, I've just got my little things in my office here.
I'm working on my pool skills behind me, so I'm ready to go and take on the world championship next year.
Oh, that's your pool table place. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Pool and snooker table. It's a hybrid.
It had a bar in it, didn't it?
Yeah, it's still got the bar there for the time being.
Nice. Okay, well, mate, it's been a bit of a week. We've seen, so coming up in the show today, and again, it's always going to be a really quick one, which is the new model of doing things. In the show today, we're going to talk briefly about Japan. We're going to talk briefly about local stuff with the CBA. The head of CBA is saying that there won't be any rate cuts ahead and sort of what is probably going to be ahead in that regard. And we're going to talk about US inflation, which sort of surprised in the wrong direction. But is there more underlying it than meets the eye? Is it as bad as some people thought at the time? So it's a good thing that we've got David here because it's this new job. This new job doesn't mean that I can actually focus on these things as much as I need to. That's why I need people like you. So that's how it goes, mate.
I'll do my best to fill in the gaps.
No worries at all, mate. And then we'll talk a little bit about some football as we go as well. I got the Sharon here, which I got fixed by the good people at Sharon. It's over about 20 years old. First gift that my wife ever got me when we started that. Well, one of the first gifts that my wife got me when we started going out as a young couple. I got it fixed by the Sharon people, and now it's absolutely perfect, ready to go. So just like the AFL season ahead. Now, we had Matt Comyn, front of the newspaper, the Financial Review, saying that he doesn't see rate cuts as being a potential possibility this year until 2025. That's interesting. We've seen some evidence sort of contrary to that. I'm going to just give you the easiest underarm stuff, David, and just say, what's your take on his views versus the views, which I think is probably represented by the Commonwealth Bank's own research department, which is one of the best that can be out there. Obviously, the Australian economics team headed with the our good friend Gareth Aird, they're producing some amazing work. What's your take on where Australia lies at the moment, especially with regards to mortgage rates and with regards to the expectation of cuts ahead?
I think the RBA will be cutting before the Fed, if I'm being brutally honest, straight off the top. When you talked about some of the mechanisms that's going through in the Australian mortgage market right now, and the one key difference that we have with the United States is that even though we're seeing mortgage rates for new mortgages in the States going and jackknife higher, so many of their mortgages were fixed at ultra low levels for decades. So they haven't really seen that increase in borrowing costs that we're seeing here in Australia. And when you look at how much borrowing's done at the front end of the curve now, the increase we're seeing coming through, it's really evident that it's really clamping down consumer spending at this point in time. And lo and behold, I think that the market's starting to come around to the realization that, A, we probably don't need to go and hike rates to the same degree as the other Fed. And no, potentially the RBA will be moving before the Fed, which is a little bit unusual.
I think I honestly agree that they will be cutting before the Fed. I don't think there's no doubt in my mind on that, that that's actually going to happen, especially with, I mean, read into whatever you want to read into. But I think that we are weaker than we are. But yeah, you're right. Just with the fact that mortgage rates haven't really moved. Now, I've got a chart up here which is saying outstanding mortgage rates, and this is the increase since rate hikes began. And I'm just sort of going to talk to this because people, not everyone is watching on the YouTube. And look, there's a blue line is Australia, red line is the United States. The blue line of Australia has gone up by almost 3.5%, about 3.25%. An increase in mortgage rates since hikes began, and the US has only gone up by 0.5%. That's everything. I mean, hiking hasn't really affected the US individual as much as it has done over here. Just a tale.
Yeah.
I was sort of having a tale of two services. We saw services inflation was uppish in the US, and I think Gareth put out a little note earlier in the week, didn't he? Sort of back on the CBA. Talking about how services inflation was not as sticky as people were thinking.
Yeah, a lot of it's coming through from non-essentials and everything else. But the one thing you can tell from the data, and now it's only going to flow through to those lagging indicators like the labour market data we saw yesterday, that the household sector, which is a big chunk of the Australian economy, is struggling at this point in time. But one of the things that's holding Australia's inflation fight back is a couple of things. So we've got very, very strong population growth. Indeed, we got some monthly figures out yesterday, which suggests that we could be running at an annual increase of about 2.5% per annum population growth. Obviously, almost all of that coming through from migration. So that's adding to aggregate demand there in the economy. And at the same time, productivity just stinks. You know, it's becoming increasingly difficult to go and get productive gains in the other economy at this point in time. So you've got this big push in demand coming through and supply is constrained. So that's helping to go and keep some inflationary pressures elevated at this point in time. That's what I know potentially could go and see rate cuts delayed. But at the same time, if it continues at this pace and we're not seeing a lot of activity coming through in the broader economy, in probably aggregate terms and per capita terms right now, looking very sluggish or going backwards, the next step's going to be we're going to see some job shedding. That's the most likely outcome you'd imagine, and that will solve productivity pretty quickly and it'll probably solve inflation as well.
That's a pretty good summary, and that is where Australia lies at the current moment. We're going to come back onto an Australian sense after we go around the world. Let's talk about Japan. Now, there's the beautiful expression, whenever you talk to, Simon Mawhinney from Allan Gray, so the head of portfolio management at Allan Gray, value investor, he always starts off the conversations by saying that the first and foremost investment thesis of theirs is that markets and economies are not correlated at all. It's been proven, it's been done, it's tested. Now, if you want evidence of this week, you can talk about that Japan recession, and I'm about to put up a chart of the Nikkei. Amazingly, one of the last bullish, I think the last bull call that I made a couple of months ago before I left the last place that I was at. And it's that is a market, mate. What's your take on Japan?
I'm not surprised, to be honest, that the Nikkei is absolutely flying. Indeed, as we're speaking, it's getting very, very close to getting towards levels that it might go and hit fresh record peaks at this point in time. It's already trading at the highest level now since January of 1990. I know that a lot of people made a lot of the Japanese data that came out yesterday, but if you go and look into some of the internal details, it's just a continuation of what we've seen for quite a period of time. And that is the external economy, particularly the exporters, are flying. Yen, not only against the dollar, but a whole basket of different currencies is absolutely flying at this point. And export volumes are really strong. Indeed, I think if you look back at the data recently, the December exports from Japan were the highest on record. Big increase to the States and a pickup to China as well. So when you look at the Nikkei, you look at the tailwinds coming through from the softer yen, and the like, I'm not surprised you're going to see it's on the cusp of going and breaking towards to record highs. The domestic economy obviously is very sluggish at this point in time, but we know that real wages have been going backwards for a long period of time. Inflation's come through, but also we know that that wage increases are on the way there. So maybe, just maybe, we're going to see that stabilize a little bit at this point. But look, all the recessionary headlines in Japan that came out yesterday don't really go and kind of marry up with the market. But if you look into the details, I think it explains a lot why the Nikkei is performing so strongly.
Yeah, it is. It is, and the main case behind my bull thesis for the Japanese market was also based on the BlackRock. What's his name? Remember we talked about this before, the fellow from BlackRock. And gee, it feels like a lifetime ago that I was talking about this, mate. Remember that last year?
Yeah, Ben Powell, I think his name is.
Yeah, Ben Powell talking about just the weight, the flood of money that there is sitting in savings accounts in Japan that just has to go into the market. It's just that was his thesis as well. Whether or not that's the case, I don't actually know where the money flows are coming from on this, but I do know that the direction of that Japanese market is up. You know, very
a lot is in, yeah. Yeah, a lot is coming through from international investors, mate. What we're seeing is some big inflows coming through to the Japanese markets. Obviously, some reforms that are taking place when it comes to rewarding shareholders maybe more so than the past and encouraging firms to go and place shareholders first more often than not is certainly going to be helping things at the moment. I'm not sure how much is actually being driven by the domestic side. It seems to be a lot of international investors. And I also get the sense from an FX perspective, what a lot of people are doing. I know that late last year, I had to go and put my forecasts out looking at dollar yen and the like. And I expected, like so many other people, that would likely go and see the Fed cut rates and then yield spreads go and compress and dollar yen come down. So you'd also get that carry coming through from an FX side of it. Hasn't really worked out at this point in time, but I think a lot of international investors are waiting for that as well. So not only getting their returns coming through from the nominal increase in Nikkei and share prices, but also potentially from a slightly stronger yen at some point this year.
Okay, that's a pretty good overview, Matt. No problem at all. On that, now let's go to the US. Now, this is the other side of the coin when it comes to what's going on. So the divergence and the separation between the US and Australia was pretty well exemplified just in the last week with regards to RBA, with regards to...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
To the US, what's your take on those services numbers? What's your take on those inflation numbers, was David?
Look, we know that there's a lot of unusual and one-off increases that come through at the start of the calendar year in the States. That likely explains some of the increase. But that super core number that the Fed's made famous, so core services prices, ex-housing, 85 basis points in the month. So I know a lot of people are kind of looking in and saying, oh, no, it's all been driven by shelter costs and everything else. But it's not really. That super core number was super hot, if I'm being honest. Yep. Which makes you wonder, and I know a lot of people are looking at some of the and going, oh, well, no, the disinflationary trend is still in place, and you can see the markets the way they're acting at the moment. The immaculate disinflation story is still very much in control at this point in time. But you look at where the economy is going at the moment, it's I think I looked at the Atlanta Fed GDP Now forecast model earlier today, still running at 2.9% annualized. It's about double the US potential rate that's estimated at this point in time, which is inflationary itself. PMIs are picking up. Retail sales up until last night, which may have been impacted by poor weather. Rolling along, 8 consecutive increases in a row, beating the market expectation for retail sales. So, yeah, the US economy is looking pretty strong at this point in time. So I'm not surprised to see that there might be some inflationary impulse coming back into the economy.
Yeah, that's right. No landing, I think, is being used more and more by people around there. I coined the phrase. What did I coin the phrase? I put it on the chat group. Undisinflation. just going to keep on tacking on more prefixes to it as we go on. Now, there was Ryan Dietrich, who we know from Carson over in the States. He does some amazing work. And he wrote, I'm just going to do this so that I don't share my notes with you because that would be unprofessional. Okay, so Ryan Dietrich, he wrote these amazing things. So shelter, and he mentioned shelter. Shelter makes up 43% of core CPI. So he wanted to go into that. Shelter is made up of two things, owner's equivalent rents and rents. The big jump in owner's equivalent rent, or OER, seems off, according to him. So this is sort of where you're going here. Annualized 6.9%, which is the highest since April 2023, versus rents are only at 4.2%. So owner's equivalent is like up by 3% more, almost. Lowest, and that's the lowest since September 21. It says that the owner's equivalent rent is likely going to come back to earth soon, which is matters as the owner's equivalent rent is 34% of the core CPI, with rent being about 8%. So rent prices match what we're seeing in private data. Apartment list rent prices are down year on year. Annualized CPI in the past 3 months is 2.8%, higher than anyone wants. So if you take out shelter, it drops to 1.1%, very similar to what you just said, suggesting we are seeing some major improvements on inflation across the board with likely better shelter data coming. So it's still going to be strong. It's just not going to be the crazy thing that's there, which is sort of why markets reacted. And then it was just like, as usual, back to the races, no problem at all.
Yeah. Oh, we've got the PPI report out tonight in the States as well. And that's no really help to go and fuel that immaculate disinflation story the last couple of months. So I reckon there's a bit of front running going on as well. But yeah, the owner's equivalent rent and rents we're seeing in the States, I know that it's very lagged from what we see coming through from private data. But you've also got to go and look at some of the fundamentals. So still very, very strong jobs market at the moment. There's arguably been a lot of underbuilding in standalone dwellings as well. There's been a lot of condos built and everything else in certain parts of the country where there's probably arguably some oversupply coming through. I just wonder about this, you know, this whole, you know, deflationary story or very, you know, strong disinflationary story from rents longer term, because we don't see house prices come off. We don't see the labor market really start to buckle, then you're still going to have plenty of fuel there to go and run with rent. So that's just one little thing there at this point in time where I know that a lot of people are getting excited about what's going on with rents. But if they start to go and pick up in private surveys, look out, because that's going to go and take one of those big drivers of the disinflationary story away.
Yeah, and then you're going to get the undisinflation. I reckon if I say it enough, it's going to get picked up and used. So I'm going to see it in someone's note and it'll be undisinflation. I'll be like, aha. Same thing as bond proxies, which I say that I invented. Well, mate, that's the market. I invented bond proxies. I also invented Professional Tuesday. Nobody ever gives me any credit for these things, right? After the greatest, I'm going to try and reach this here, but after the greatest Super Bowl that I've ever seen, I'm just going to go there because there's the NFL ball. We see the sun sets on the NFL and the sun rises on the AFL, and what a great season we've got ahead, mate. Who's your tip? Who's your team? Well, we know who your team is. You're a Swannies man like you. But what do you think? Anything out of the ordinary? I'm just pulling up some odds.
Yeah, look, it's hard to go past Collingwood. Very, very strong team. Even with potential some injuries coming through early on. But I think, you know, apart from my Swannies and your Swannies too, we've got to add in there for context. Their premiership window, I was thinking maybe it was, you know, shutting temporarily, but we've got some pretty decent recruits, particularly if Grundy can go and dominate in the ruck. I have some fairly high hopes that we can go and at least make the other top four. I think when you look at the likes of the Lions, again, another pretty strong contender. But yeah, when I look across some of the other teams, I know a lot of people are looking at, I know Carlton has been a potential, you know, to go that next step coming through. But I think GWS to me looked like that team, which they had so much momentum in the second half of last year. They can carry that through and they've got a relatively young list. Well, they might be tough to go and beat as well. So that's kind of my tip. I know that, Tony, we want to go and see who's going to win the tournament. The other season, I'd love to say the Swans, but yeah, I'm not saying it with we're too much money behind it. Put it that way.
Well, I think that the difference is if the Swans just don't throw away those one pointers, you know, those little ones of just that heartbreaking game. the Port Adelaide one, which I was there for. Speaking of, then it could be a different story for them, but you're right. I got Sportsbet up here. Remember, bet with your head, not over it. This is not a gambling thing. We're just trying to give you a bit of context for these things. Collingwood at $5, Brisbane $5.50, Carlton are at $8, GWS at $8, Melbourne at $10, Swannies at $10 as well. Now, John Lycos? Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, Lycos.
Did want us to quotify him. He's from Bond Advisor as well, an amazing service. I'm actually pitching with them to use them for a certain thing too. I'm pretty excited about that. And they're a really professional outfit. But he's predicting that Port Adelaide, which is his team, which says a lot about him, his team is not going to make the top eight. So Port Adelaide to miss. You heard it here first, according to one of the smartest guys in the bond market that going around. I'm not sure how that don't really cross over. If you can understand the work, the yield and price cross over, and you can explain bonds without doing this with your hands, how do you explain the curve? Then you can predict the AFL fairly well. I suppose you can. That's where we're up to. While we're there, we're just going to have a little look at the NRL, because as I was up late last night watching highlights of the NRL from last year for the teams that are going to be in Vegas when I'm there, just so that I can communicate with these guys and actually know what's talking about these sort of things, because some of these games I didn't really catch all the way. So let's take a look at futures for rugby league NRL. Futures, NRL grand final winner. Panthers still short. Broncos still $4.35. Storm in there as well. They didn't do too badly last night. I've got a real hot tip for you. I still think that the Tigers will be a top eight team. Surprisingly, I think that Benji and Robbie know what's up, and I reckon they've got a lot of spirit, and they're getting him pointed in the right direction. I think the Bulldogs will go a lot better than you think that they will as well.
Yeah. They'll have to, mate, because they've made so many acquisitions that they aren't going to start delivering soon, the Bulldogs. Gus Gould will be out on his ass. And, then a lot of people are waiting for the Dogs to come good. They've got a big nursery, big kennel, and hasn't really gone and gone anywhere in a long time.
Oh, it's fun. Just as long as Manly doesn't make the eight, I'll be very happy. And that's it. Look, final bids for you for Big Man. Oh, and North's potentially coming back into the comp very soon, sooner than we think, which will be an amazing thing. And you know what's amazing? The takeaway that I get from people, especially with all the people that we talk to who are very close to the game of rugby league, because that's what Barclay Pearce Capital is sort of we're a leaguey broker. Whenever I mention relegation, everyone says, "Yeah, it'd be a great idea. It'd be cool." Playing, imagine that sort of those barn burners towards the back end of the season. You've got 3 weeks to go. If the Tigers don't make this game, or if the Bulldogs don't win this game, they get a drop down into the second division, into the New South Wales Cup, sort of thing like that. There is the structure for a pyramid structure that's similar to the way that football has. And I'd like to see that done. What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it, but I wouldn't want to go see, apart from addition of the Bears, of course, which I know whether the Western Bears or whatever Bears, I'm as a long-suffering supporter and still a supporter of the New South Wales Cup side. I'd love to go and see them. But, yeah, from a two-tier competition, if you went and separated to maybe, 10 and 10, and then had the maybe the bottom two go down and then the top two from the second tier go up each season, I reckon that would be awesome. It'll go and add to it.
Yeah, and inject money. I mean, you get those hearts, inject some much needed money into some of the clubs that are out there. If you can struggle your way up to get to the pinnacle, that's changing lives.
Really strong teams as well.
Yeah, absolutely there are. I'd love to see Newtown back at the top levels as well, but that's just part of the trade of the old Blue Baggers. All right, mate, I'll let you go. Thank you very much for the chat. If there's anything else you want to say, speak now or forever hold it.
No problem. Just, everyone have a great weekend, and, we'll see what happens with these crazy markets at the moment. Certainly a lot to go and talk about.
Yeah, no, it will be. As usual, stay invested wherever you can. It's a matter of what, and it's a matter of when, it's a matter of how. So, thank you very much for joining us. That's been David Scott, talking person from StoneX and a bunch of other things, City Index, and it's gone. Sorry. Can't remember. What was it? What was the last one?
Forex.com.
Forex.com. Thank you. That's all right, mate. I don't know. It's a, anyway, I'm James Wheeler, Managing Director of Barclay Pearce Capital's Wealth Management Team. And you've been listening to the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. Thank you so much. Have yourselves a great weekend. Mark well.